Mark on sweat too. Let's close our eyes. Lord Jesus, thank you for making a way for us to be close to you and close to one another as a body. I pray and I ask that you will help us in that, Lord. I said it this morning and I want to say it again, just with the larger part of the body, Lord. I'm not sure how often that you hear it from your people, but we just want to say that we love you, Lord. We want to declare that you are our King and that you are the King of Kings. And we ask that you will share your heart with us, that you will lead us and guide us, that you'll remind us who we are, and that you'll constantly, as we heard over and over this morning, that you'll remind us of who you are. In the midst of our circumstances, good and bad, wherever we find ourselves, I pray that we will see you in a fresh way. Help us with this, please, Lord Jesus. Amen. Good morning. I thought I'm going to be speaking about coffee this morning because yesterday it was just coffee and it's coffee from the morning till the evening and it's, yes, and all that I'm thinking about at the moment is coffee and how can I make it more structured so that the lines are less and how can we make this more, anyways, but I'm not going to speak about coffee, I'm going to speak about joy. And I think it's 100% in line with what you shared, with what we've heard. And it's very encouraging for me. So thank you for that. Thank you for your obedience. Your husband said, next time I must tell you, you must speak much shorter. And I said to him, not the chance, it's net te lekker. So dank je, Marga, hoor, ons is regtig lief vir jou, hoor. En terwijl ek denk ook, ja, gister met die koffie, die generator, heel dag hier achter my oor, en hy is nog steeds hier so. Maar praise the Lord, excuse, off the topic. So I wanna speak about joy, or anyways, maybe just one or two aspects of joy in the time that we have. Obviously, there's different elements of joy. There's different things that contribute towards joy, but so just a part of it. And I was reminded as a result of this past Navik, the Easter weekend that is past, and that scripture that says in Hebrews 12, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And it's this joy set before him. What was that joy that was set before him so that he could endure this cross? And I asked the question, what was that joy that was set before him? And I kind of wrestled with this thing of joy because his circumstances wasn't ideal. It wasn't peaches and cream. There was no circumstances that were going to influence in such a way that he says, this is going lacquer for me at the moment. It wasn't. But there was a joy set before him, and as a result of that joy set before him, he walked this differently. And so we want to just touch on that. So joy, and again, I want to say just to make it clear that it's not the full picture, it's just part of. Because we see the full picture throughout the word, but if I have to bring out all that, then we're going to be here forever. And so just part of it, I want to kind of break up biblical joy maybe in five parts, a five-part definition, if that's okay. And just to give a little bit of a foundation of where we're heading and what it is, and so that we know, okay, this is a part of joy, this is what it is. And for starters, the first part, it's a feeling, it's a good feeling inside here. It's an emotion that you cannot just click on and click off. It doesn't work like that. And I heard so often, yeah, you need to choose joy. And I think, yeah, how does one choose joy in the midst of things that is just really tough? I can't choose joy. It's kind of like an example. I'm going out camping, got my small little tent, and a lion rocks up there outside my tent. I'm not going to analyze this situation. Okay, the lion is massive. He's big. He's hairy. He's got massive teeth. The tent is thin. He's going to eat me up. Okay, as a result of all this analyzing, I'm going to be afraid. No, I'm afraid immediately as a result of this emotion that's in my heart as a result of circumstances around me. It's a normal thing that I cannot click on and off. It's a feeling inside. So that's the first part. It's something inside. And the second part is, It's often described throughout the word that it's inside your soul, or it talks often about your heart. Your heart is full of gladness. Your heart is full of joy. And yes, does it have an effect on your body? For sure. You got a spring in your step, or your eyes are gleaming, or you hear something that brings you joy and you almost start crying. That's the effect of joy that's happening inside. So it's joy is the first part. It's an emotion. It's a feeling. It's a good feeling inside. Second part, it's here. Third part, and what I'm understanding throughout the New Testament and the Old Testament in some areas, that it is produced by the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not something that I can well up and try, and I need to try and be joyous. It's difficult in this world to try and be joyous. But it's produced by the Holy Spirit. So that's the third. And then the fourth, the Holy Spirit does this just about all the time. The Holy Spirit does it by causing us or helping us to see Jesus, to see God in our circumstances. You see it throughout, and I'm going to give a couple of examples of that. So the fourth part is the Holy Spirit wells it up. It's his fruit, but he does it by allowing us or helping us or causing us to see our God. And when we see him, something happens. And the fifth part and the last part is most of the time, it is when we see him in the Word, the Bible, when we read, and in the world. And when I mean the world is I talk about nature, food, people. This is how often we experience and see God, is through nature, through walks, and in this world, through, you know, even in Proverbs, it's talk about perfume. When you smell it, you're like, and so these things, but the Holy Spirit produces it, and we see Jesus as a result of these things in the Word and in the world. And I was reminded of a story. I traveled through Southeast Asia and from Thailand up to Vietnam, and then you go on this incredible trip on the Mekong River. So it's this massive river in Vietnam. And you take a slow boat. So it's this boat that you're on for 2 days on this Mekong River. But this route that the people are traveling in Asia, it's a well-known route that young people, old people all over the world are coming. And on this route, they are seeking something. And when I was on that boat, so now you're on a boat for 2 days. There's only a certain amount of people on the boat, so you're only spending amount of time with these kind of people. All along this route for, I think it was a month or just under a month that we were traveling, you get in touch with a lot of people from all over the world. And you chat with them and you find out. And one beautiful thread that I'm hearing when I was on this boat and traveling throughout is people are on a journey, this journey to seek peace and to seek joy. That's probably one of the things that I heard the most. And then you ask them, you know, this coming from wealthy families, not wealthy families, Dutch, Canadian, South African, where, you name it, different cultures, seeking mostly two of these things. And then you ask them, so where have you been and what are you up to? And they've been to the most incredible places in the world, like in stunning nature and whitewater rafting and all these, but there's still this seeking, this desiring for something more. And I realize when you take God out the picture and you've got the world, you've got the nature, the food, the everything that we seek, that we enjoy, that we love, which is great and it's awesome, and God and the Holy Spirit uses it and causes us and helps us to see him through that. But when you take him out of the picture, you just have no joy. And I saw this over and over. Wherever I've traveled, when I went to Canada, when I've been in Africa, the Southeast Asia, New Zealand, the stuff is just, the thread is just so clear. And the other extreme example is also just as clear, and it's the Israelites. They were coming out the desert, out Egypt. They went through the water, and they landed up in the middle of nowhere. It was a massive desert with nothing that they are seeing. But there was a scripture in Psalm 105 that expressed what they did when they got into this desert. And it said there, 105:43, it says, "The Lord caused his people to leave with joy, his chosen ones with shouts of joy." Now, we know the story and we know where they're heading up, heading into. We know the promised land. We've kind of got the bigger picture of the story. But these people, they were in the middle of a desert with lots of crying babies and children and sheep and blah and nothing. This is nothing. But for some reason, they were full of joy. For three reasons. They were set free. There was some sort of hope. They've heard about this promised land. There was some sort of hope. And they were in the presence of God. They saw, obviously, incredible miracles. They just walked through a Dead Sea. There was this cloud during the day and pillar of fire in the night. So they were in the presence of God. And as a result of that, they were full of joy. Not because of the sand around them or the circumstances or anything like that. Nothing. It was sand. And so that's the kind of joy aspect that I wanna present or I wanna talk about. It's this joy that is set before us. What was the joy set before Jesus when he endured the cross? It was so that we could know him, love him, that we could be with him, because this is what he desired, so that we could be free. This kind of joy, he knew that if I had to do this, or if I get there, then... But is it there yet? No. But he endured because of the joy. And maybe I can just ask one couple of questions, just to kind of get an idea of what the kind of emotion that I'm talking about is. Each year, we've got our things that we look forward to. Let me hear a couple of things that you look forward to in a year. That is connected with joy. And you can just shout it out where you're at. What are the things that you look forward to in a year? A birthday. Okay, you said that you think it's September babies. My wife is in October. Say, love it. A birthday. What else? A holiday. Each year, your holiday. It's on the way. What else? Rian. Hallelujah. Amen. Nog iets. So I think holidays, something that you're looking forward to. Maybe you're planning and you budgeted and you're going to buy a new vehicle or something. There's a something that's coming ahead and the joy that's set before you, you are doing something. There's a practical because of that. The promised land was itself. There was a joy that was set before them. And as a result of that, they didn't do too well in the desert, and we're going to get to why they didn't do well in the desert, but there was something of that, there was something that the Lord showed them, and there was also the presence of God. And I think it's crucial for where we're at, and it's always going to be crucial, and it was always crucial, and it's never going to change because it stays crucial because we need it. And one of the questions that I asked was, what happened to the Israelites halfway through or just in? Because just a moment ago, they saw the sea part in two. Incredible miracles there in Egypt. They entered in a desert with nothing and they were joyful and they were praising and there was a song and there was a... But there was still nothing. So they traveled on a little bit further and there was still nothing. But there was the pillar of fire and there was the... But something happened with these Israelites. And it's kind of what we've heard this morning. And it catches me often, to be honest with you. God, the presence of God for them, if we're looking at that story specifically, the presence of God for them became 100% normal. So normal that what did they start doing? It wasn't enough. And the circumstances around them, what they had, didn't have, everything around them started influencing to the point of it killed their joy. So their source of joy in the beginning was, yeah, we've seen him, we experience him, this is our God that has set us free, he's got a plan, we're on our way there, we experience his presence, joy, because our eyes are on him. Later, the eyes came off him. We don't have, this is not in place, we don't like that. Did the freedom change? Did the hope change? Did the presence change? It didn't. The promised land was still there. The freedom was still there. The presence was still there. But somewhere, somehow, their eyes was taken off. And what happened when the eyes were taken off? The source of joy, if we talk about just joy, and there's a source of many things, but let's just look at joy. What happened? They lost all their joy. They started moaning about everything. They walked in a desert for another 40 years. That's ruthless. And for the Israelites, and for me often, and I think for the rest of the church, it is so easy, and especially in a culture where Christianity is all open. There's no persecution that you have to say, if I say that I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I'm gonna die. If that's not there, then easily it becomes a norm. Which, hallelujah, I'm grateful that we can openly and freely praise and pray. It's an incredible privilege. But may it not lead us to a point where it becomes the norm, where our eyes are, we know about God. And like the Israelites, we take our eyes off and then start seeking, like all those guys on this trip through the Mekong River, seeking this joy in the things that I do or don't do, the things that I have or don't have. And all are those things bad? Not at all. Because that is one of the reasons or one of the ways that the Holy Spirit helps us to see our King of Kings is through nature, in through miracles. Great. But if that becomes the source of it, and I think this message is a very normal message. It's just a reminder. I think we all know this stuff. But what I'm hearing through testimony and scripture is that we need to be reminded of this. We need to be refreshed, and we need to pray for one another in this as a body. Because the times are tough. The desert is real. And if it's not a desert, it's like a, it's, what did you say in Afrikaans? Die donker, wat ek al? It's like a forest that is just so much happening and I just cannot see at the moment. And the Lord is giving us so many examples through the Word over and over and over. And we've heard it a million times, if not more. There's only one way. And that is in the midst of this to realize what He has done, who He is now, and where are we going? What is the joy set before me? And if He endured the cross like that, then I'm asking myself the question. I asked myself the question. I thought, Brett, what is the joy set before me? As a biblical child of God. Yeah, I can have plans and joy. After your plan and the IT is a swoop deal funded. But as a child of God in the kingdom of God, what is the joy set before me? So that I can get through this. And how do I get through this? Well, just like the Israelites, if I take my eyes off, then it's good. So one of the joys that was set before me was obviously eternity. I can't get over that idea. I cannot take that out because it is not yet. I'm not that yet. The Lord has not yet come on His cloud. But there's something about that that says, I know that that's the promised land. And that's where I'm heading. And the joy that's set before me is creating some sort of excitement, some sort of a joy, some sort of a peace, a rest within my heart. But if I am taking my eyes off not the promised land, because that's not what they did or it's part of it, they took their eyes off God now. And as a result of that, things went pear-shaped. So that's one of the aspects, the joys that sets before me. The other one, and maybe this is just a personal thing, but I cannot get enough now of seeing someone seeing God. I cannot get enough of it. I've experienced many things. Bad, good, fantastic, travel, great, all the rest of it. There's something that this cannot... I cannot beat it is when I see someone in front of me where their eyes is tick, and you see something in them where they have just seen or experienced God. And so the joy set before me here in this world, that joy of seeing someone experience Him, tasting and seeing that He is good, experience freedom, breakthrough, there's a joy that is set before me as a child of God that says, I'm going to go through this. it's really okay. It's really not that bad. But how do I do it? Well, I keep my eyes on Jesus. I walk with him closely. I make sure that I'm in a position where I can hear. I ask him for help over again and again and again and again and again. Lord, just help me to see you in the midst of my circumstances. Yeah, I want the desert to look different, and I want this to be like that, and I would rather have it like this, and I need quail, and die water is min, and dit is so, and die generator ras, and alles is, it is so. But Lord, help me to see you in the midst of this. And when I do, I can't deny it, there's a real joy. And it has an effect on my body. There's a spring in my step, or a smile, or a gleam in my eyes, or tears of joy, because someone is going to experience and see the King of Kings. The joy set before me. And it's exactly these scriptures that she shared this morning. David is a perfect example of being a realistic guy in the midst of tough circumstances, expressing his heart to his king and saying, I don't like this. Dis nie lekker vir my nie. And then in the midst of his psalm and his playing his instrument, somehow his eyes was turned to God. And he said, well, rejoice. Why? There was no other reason. Because he experienced and he saw and he was in the presence of his God. By eenvoudig. And I think we all need to be reminded of this. I need to be reminded of this. And it's an incredible privilege, né, to be in a position in this world, if I look at everyone that I've come across that is seeking for peace and seeking for joy, that we can truly say, listen, our circumstance is not different, but we experience peace and we experience joy. That is a massive testimony as children of God, to be able to be full of joy and full of peace. In John 15, it's the scripture that talks about the vine and the branch and being grafted in, being so close to him, being part of him. And if we are cut off, then we are just going to be burnt up and meaning nothing and just this dry little stokkie wat beteken niksie. And then later in that John, I got it here, in that in John 15, it says, I have told you these things so that you may be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. I don't know about you, but is the churches not just talking about the local church here, the people of God, is the joy overflowing? Is the joy overflowing? Yes and no, possibly. I think so. Because some are in green pastures, some are experiencing hectic times. Is the joy determined by our green pastures or hectic times? Not. It's got to do with these testimonies that I'm hearing over and over, is that, yeah, you know what, I've been going through this time, and it's just not lekker, and there's, but you, something happened is when God reminded me of what he has done, who he is, and where he's taking me. And I think the key in all of this is not what he's done and where he's taking me, although that's it's a factor, it's for sure. But the key is this one, who he is. This is the one that we need to seek, strive for, ask for help. Lord, in the midst of where I am, who are you? And when he shows you who he is, not his plan for you, not all the things that he wants to give you. Fine, that's also okay. But who he is, something happens. I guarantee you. I assure you. Because I see it right through this Bible. Joy is a beautiful theme from the beginning to the end. And it's always connected with people seeing and experiencing him. It's an incredible thing. And I want to emphasize on those, it was five parts, but the emphasis is actually on, it is the Holy Spirit who helps us and causes us to see him, to understand and see him in the Word. Before I was a believer, I understood nothing here. I looked at it and I thought, hierdie goed is die mekaar, man. Hoe werk dit? Nee, ek verstaan nie lekker nie. When he gave me his Spirit, I saw him. I understood his heart. I grasped a tiny bit of his love, and it created an incredible joy in my heart. That gleamed in my eyes, and it did all these things, but that's the external. That's just the result of. So I actually want to share this one scripture because Psalm 105 says it so beautifully, and I don't have any on the slide, but if you have your Bible, please read it with me. Turn to 105 there, Psalm 105, verse 43, I think it. No, from 1. Psalm 105, 1. The other one was in 43. And it says it's so straightforward here. Psalm 105, verse 1 to 4. I think this is the New Living Translation, but it says, "Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name. Make known amongst the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always." That scripture is being replayed in history throughout the word over time. The Lord said, tell of their works, tell of my works. Remind your children of what I have done. Set up these massive faith pillars in your life. The faith pillars is something that God has done that I'm looking back on. And it's a faith pillar. Why? Because it's holding something up, just as a pillar does. Tell of my wondrous works. Set up these faith pillars so that when you're in the midst of this desert and there is nothing there, you can look back and say, I know who he is. I know who he is. I know what he's done. Seek those who seek the Lord, rejoice. This is the seek. Seek him. That's effort that we need to kind of just wake up and say, Laisteri, so ek moet my uit die bubble uitkom en ek moet nou 'n bietjie vir hom seek. And the most beautiful times of seeking, yes, is alone for sure. But if it is just alone, it's also, it becomes a bubble where we become in turmoil because I've realized that the most beautiful times of seeking him was also to do with body. Even if it is just with one friend. Anna Marie shared that. Just come out of that. I just needed to be reminded. And in the midst of the praying with one another, the encouraging, the whatever it is, oh, I see him. I'm reminded who he is in my circumstances, in my desert. Look to the Lord and his strength. Look to the Lord and his strength. Not my plans and his strength. Seek his face always. If this is a scripture that I could embed into my children, into my heart, I want to say this over and over. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known amongst the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength, seek his face always. We need this. May God help us with this. And I think, you know, Marga created for an opportunity to pray for one another. And I'm one of them. I find myself often where, you know, the presence of God, just like the Israelites later, had become so normal that I forgot to seek him. And I started seeking the what I would get and how I was hungry and how I was that, just like they did. And that's okay. But thank the Lord that he's given us time over time examples to say, hey, listen, stop gauw. Turn your eyes from where you're at and seek me. So Albrecht of iemand, as jy kan net 'n liedjie, we're going to have a time of prayer for one another, if that's okay. If you find yourself in a position where, listen, this scripture, I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. I experience nothing of joy overflowing in my life at the moment, then we want to pray with you. We want to pray for one another, and just a time of ministry, just that the Lord can really share with us in your quiet time, or if you feel that, listen, I'm not experiencing joy. My circumstances is, and I just need someone to pray for me so that I can come out of these circumstances, or that I could be reminded, or whatever it is that the Lord wants to do. And so if you're in that position, please, we're just going to have a bit of time of being still, find out where you're at, where are we sitting in the midst of this. Is there a joy? Is it real? Is it from Him? Is it as a result of this short, oh, I need to get that so then I can feel good? Or is it a long-lasting biblical joy as a result of walking with Him in relationship, seeking Him? Those who seek Him will rejoice. So just a time of being quiet. And if you feel that we can pray for you, please come to the front and there will be people to pray. Let me just close off in prayer, and then we'll have a time of ministry. Yeah, Lord Jesus, we really desire you above all else. And we know that your joy is a part of that. And we just want to look at this aspect just for a moment. Help us to see where we're at personally. Is the joy overflowing that we read in John 15? I really pray that we will have the grace upon grace to seek you, Lord. Wherever we find ourselves, if it's in the green pastures or the tough times, help us, Lord, that you will be our enough. And I want to proclaim that you are enough, Lord. I want to declare it. And all these other things in the world, the nature, the hikes, the running, all the good things that you have given, thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for all the good things that you have given so that we can enjoy. But I pray that it will not become our source of joy. That it will always lead us to see you. That you will be the enough. That you will be the source of our joy. Let's just have a time of quietness. And if you feel, come to the front, and we just want to pray with you. In Jesus, amen.